Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord we're able to spend this time together as, with the Lord's help, we conclude a message I've been sharing this week from the 11th chapter of John, the story of Lazarus and his resurrection. And we are going to look today, in conclusion, on the obedience of faith and the glory of God. It is a wonderful thing when we see miracles happen. And sometimes I think we overlook the smaller miracles that are taking place all the time in our lives. But this was definitely a major miracle. And he was demonstrating not only to those present, his close disciples, but to all generations of believers that there's nothing impossible with God. Let me start reading at verse 41. Of chapter 11. Then they took away the stone, because he had asked that, from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And that reminds me of what is recorded in the Gospels when Jesus is talking about the rich man and the poor beggar that sat at the gate looking for crumbs, and the rich man was in hell, and he was able to see Lazarus, the different Lazarus there, and he begs that Lazarus would come and cool his tongue because he was in torment in the flames. And then, since that was impossible, Abraham said, nope, can't do that. There's too great a gulf. That just simply can't happen. And he said, well, please send someone to my brothers and let them know about this terrible place, that they don't come here. And Jesus's response was, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe the one rise from the dead. And here we have recorded an exact example of that. They literally saw, they'd been there, they knew Lazarus was in that tomb 4 days, and he came forth, and they still did not believe in Jesus. It's amazing. I believe it's hard-heartedness. It's an unwillingness to be open to the truth. And as a result, their heart, the Holy Spirit, I believe, deals with every living human being. And the more we harden our hearts and refuse his promptings, the quieter he gets. It's a very dangerous place to be in. So let's talk now about the obedience of faith, because faith without works is dead. And when he said, take away the stone, Martha objected. It's like, oh, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. This is not good. But they did what he said. And there are things laying on the entrance of our own heart. There was a stone of unbelief. In other words, they couldn't believe that after 4 days someone could be resurrected from the dead. But we have sometimes stones of unbelief on our own hearts. It's the unbelief of God's people. And often it lies in the way of the dead in sin being raised, or in seeing the miracle working power of God. Those who aren't saved are dead in trespasses and sin. And not only that, it's because of our limited belief, really. We would never say, oh, we don't believe that, but our actions belie that. we don't see the miracle working power of God in this country. Why? Because we've got all sorts of helps. We've got all sorts of excuses. You know, we've got medicine. It's not the desperate situations that are seen in third world countries. And so as a result, we don't see God's miracle working power. Beloved, there's all kinds of stones on our heart. Sometimes it's too late. Well, I've just wasted too much time. I'm at the end of my life. You know, my best years are past. I just made bad choices. There's nothing more to be done. Oh dear, what a desperate, hopeless place to be in. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. What other stones? Fear of man or love of the world? That's true for a lot. Selfish indifference, morbid fatalism. Well, whatever will be, will be. God will do what he wants to do. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Or have you said it perhaps? But Jesus is saying to us through this passage, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. And you demonstrate believing by doing something. The glory of God. Let's see. In verse 42 through 44, let me read that now. And Jesus is saying, I know, he's speaking to the Father, thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Then he calls verse 43 with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And in verse 44, Lazarus comes out, he's all bound up, and he says, you know, unwrap those grave clothes, loose him, and let him go. And then many believed because of literally what they saw. Jesus is telling us today, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We have not seen Jesus physically, literally, unless he chooses to remove that veil from our eyes. But we walk in this realm, this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. But if we will believe, we can see the glory of God in our lives. So how was God's glory seen? In giving life to the dead and liberty to the living. That's the wonderful thing. Lazarus was restored to their home and hearts. They believed, they saw his glory, and they were satisfied. Have you beheld the glory of his life-giving power in answer to your obedient trust? Or are you still mourning hopelessly over the dead, forgetting him who has said, believe, and thou shalt see the glory of God? And you might say, well, Sister Glass, I was believing for a loved one. I wanted them to be healed from their sickness, but they died. And, well, if they were a Christian, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen to a Christian? Die and go to be with Jesus? Oh, that, you know, even Paul was wrestling with that. He said, you know, to be with the Lord is far better. However, for your sakes, it's important I stay here. So, you know, whatever it is that has been as a stone on your heart, God wants to see it removed. We see the glory of God by believing in him, even when things, and the thing is so often we want to put time limits, don't we? Well, I'm going to believe, and a certain amount of time passes and nothing happens, and then we begin to lose heart, we begin to lose hope, because it didn't happen as soon as we hoped it should be. But don't you understand, in this whole story, Jesus delayed his coming. There was a need, and he didn't respond right away. Do I have all the answers? Can I tell you the reasons why you haven't experienced some of the answered prayers in your life? Of course not. I can't even answer in my own life why things have not occurred that I had earnestly prayed and hoped they would. Well, because we don't control time. His ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. And even as if we walk with the Lord any length of time, we still don't understand his ways. But we have that promise that all things will work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. So while we may not understand why we haven't seen answers at this present point in time, or whether if someone does die, we may not understand everything until we're actually with the Lord. But that's what's required of us now, that we go on in faith and believe God. Brother Glass used to say, even if I never experienced healing, I would still preach God as my healer, as the healer of his people. That's what he came to do. So, beloved, wherever you find yourself today, if you're suffering, God gives comfort. Now, no affliction for the present moment seemeth joyous, but rather grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. So with patient endurance, beloved, you will see the glory of God. If you're discouraged, he'll give you cheer. You know, the disciples, he's told them to cast their net into the deep. And they said, we've toiled all night, taken nothing. But he says, launch out into the deep. Believe, and thou shalt see the glory of God. In Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 23, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In Jeremiah 32:17. The prophet declares, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Beloved, if he can make heaven and earth, you can surely trust him with your problems. You know, I was just thinking of Luther, you know, that hallmark of the Reformation, the just shall live by faith. Well, I mean, here he was in danger of his life. One of the local princes, kidnapped him and kept him safe. And as a result, the German people had the New Testament written in their German language. What looked to be a setback was a blessing. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And beloved, if you're afraid, Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And the final scripture I share with you, Psalm 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Beloved, he desires your blessing, your building up, your conforming to the very precious image of his son Jesus. That's my prayer for you. And if you have needs, I do invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. And if you'd like a personal reply, I do respond. I confirm receipt of emails and pray. But the ministry occurs if you're able to share your mailing address when you email. I love you deeply. I pray for you every day, beloved. And I thank you for the privilege of allowing me to minister to you the Word of God. Thank you for your prayers. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.